The following lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg was recorded live and is presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.
So for this week's parasha is Parashat Acharei Kedoshim. We'll discuss the topic from Parashat Kedoshim. One of the halachot that we find here has to do with entering the land of Israel. When the Jewish people enters the land of Israel, it says that you will come into the land and you will plant fruit trees. And when you plant the fruit trees, you have to wait 3 years not to eat the fruit. And that period of time, the fruit is called arel. Arel is the same word that is used in the Torah for the foreskin before circumcision, that has to be circumcised. That the fruit is still impure. And actually it's explained in Kabbalah, in Sefer HaTanya as well, that the 3 years actually correspond to the three impure shells that cover up all the Kedusha, all the holiness in the world. And these three shells are the foreskin, and they actually control and become manifest in the first 3 years of the fruit. So it's forbidden to eat the fruit, and even if you keep the fruit until after the 3 years is over, it's still the fruit, the very body, the essence of the fruit belongs to the three impure klipot, and it's forbidden forever. So that's for 3 years. And then the second verse reads that on the fourth year all of the fruit is holy, and you use it or you eat it together with praising God. And we're taught in the Oral Torah that this means that we have to take the fruit up to Yerushalayim, to Jerusalem, and eat it there in purity. And by eating it in Jerusalem, we praise God, thank God for the fruit of the tree. This is on the fourth year. If it's impossible for one reason or another to take the fruit of Yerushalayim, then it has to be redeemed. You have to redeem it with its monetary value, and then you take the money to Yerushalayim and purchase their fruit, and it becomes sanctified with the sanctity of the neta revai, that's the term, at the fruit of the fourth year. And once more, you eat it in Yerushalayim and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the fourth year. And then the fifth year, which is the concluding verse of this section, says that on the fifth year you can eat the fruit freely all over, but in your own domain. And if you have kept this commandment as Hashem has told us, then Hashem will bless you with ever increasing plentitude of fruit and blessing, for I am God, your God. That's the way it concludes. So we have here called a ladder, a progression of three stages, that for 3 years the fruit is totally forbidden, and it's as though the fruit is possessed by the three impure klipot shells. And then the fourth year there is a limitation on the fruit, in which you can't freely enjoy the fruit in any domain whatsoever. We're commanded to bring the fruit to Yerushalayim and to praise God. And then the fourth year, it becomes totally freer. It comes into a state that we normally refer to as just natural flowing consciousness. That the fruit is good and holy in its own right. Obviously, we have to bless God whenever we partake and enjoy anything, any worldly pleasure. There's a blessing that we have to say before we eat. But there's no restriction or limitation that we have to take this especially to Yerushalayim, that especially has to be for the sake solely of praising and blessing God. And then the fruit itself becomes a blessing, and God adds and increases more and more blessing to us in the merit of having kept this mitzvah for the whole 5-year period. As in regard to any mitzvah, especially one that has several stages to it, so it corresponds to an important model in Kabbalah and Hasidut. And the model that this corresponds to is this very same as with reference to circumcision itself, circumcision of the foreskin of the flesh, when a baby is 8 days old, as we actually read in just a previous parashah of Tazria, that began with the mitzvah to circumcise every male child on the 8th day. Now, in the process of circumcision, there are 2 stages before the child and his whole body and his whole flesh become holy and sanctified to Hashem. And the 2 stages are called Milah and Priya. Milah means to cut off the coarse, visible foreskin, the crude or gross layer of the skin. But then, beneath that gross foreskin, there is a transparent or translucent membrane, which is almost transparent. It's very hard to see, but it's there. And it has to be torn off, in order to reveal fully what's called the crown of the flesh, of the breed, of the covenant. The breed means the covenant with Hashem as it's expressed or actually physically manifest in the flesh of the male youth, the male child. So we're taught in Chazal that if in the process of circumcision one does only the first stage, which is to cut off the coarse skin, and doesn't do the second stage, which is called Priya, to tear away the transparent membrane, it's as though he did nothing. Now, the way that this is explained in Kabbalah and Hasidut is that the coarse skin is that evil or those shells in the soul that we can recognize. And we can straightforward recognize what we call conscious blemishes of the soul, conscious evil of the soul. That whatever is conscious, we have to treat directly by just cutting it off. But still, there is a thin layer of unconscious evil. There's all kinds of motivations, unconscious motivations, that we don't know why we're doing things, but it's coming not from good, positive motivations in order to bring us close to Hashem and to the Torah, but it's some type of egocentric motivation. We're not always or very often aware that what we do, sometimes we even do mitzvot, but we have egocentric motivations behind even sometimes the good things that we do. Those unconscious egocentric motivations are this thin layer, this membrane, which is almost transparent, which means it's very difficult to recognize. Nonetheless, if that isn't also torn off, the crown of the sanctity of the Jewish soul, the Jewish body, cannot be revealed. It's as though you did nothing. It means if a person just treats his overt evil without treating and tearing away his unconscious evil, he has not succeeded in serving Hashem as the Torah requires of us. Now, very often it's said that the overt evil, which is the thick foreskin, that's something that we can do, and we have to, we're commanded to do, almost by ourselves, with our own power. But to actually recognize, we said it's very difficult to recognize the unconscious motivations. So in order to be able to see it and to tear it away, we need divine inspiration, we need special divine inspiration. Otherwise, we will not be able to treat the unconscious evil of the soul and tear it off in order to redeem and to reveal the goodness, and also the ultimate purpose, of course, of revealing the crown of the flesh is in order to bring holy souls into the world when the child grows up, to be able to marry and to bring down holy souls into the world, new souls, which means actually to manifest the power of infinity, to give birth to another generation, until the coming of Mashiach speedily in our days. This is all if the commandment of the circumcision is performed in its two stages, first Milah and then Priya. So since the word here that is used with reference to the trees, the fruit trees, is the very same word as the foreskin of the flesh, so it means that here also there have to be two stages, and this is the basic model that is reflected here as well. There is a stage of cutting off from the external world, or from that those objects in the world like fruit that we partake of and that we enjoy, have pleasure from, that by not eating the fruit for 3 years and knowing that the very body of the fruit is impure, is in the hands, we'll say, of impurity, that is treating the overt and obvious evil. It's cutting off the thick foreskin. So those are called the three impure shells that are totally impure, and also they are overtly impure. Whereas the fourth year, that we cannot yet freely enjoy the fruit and just bless Hashem and then eat, partake of the fruit and receive. Not only did we bless Hashem, but now Hashem will bless us and the fruit will become more and more and more. That's the fifth year. That's only after the fourth year has been performed properly. Now the fourth year is the same thing as the secret of the Priya. The Priya is the tearing off of the thin membrane, which corresponds to, with divine aid, being able to tear away egocentric motivations in what we do, which are normally unconscious, as we said, even with regard to doing good things, like doing mitzvot. How do we see this? Because if a person now takes care that I can't just freely eat this fruit, I have to have to tune my conscience specially into holiness. I actually take the fruit, not here where in my home where I live outside of Jerusalem. I have to now take it to Jerusalem, to the dwelling place of God, to the special, unique dwelling place of God, and there eat it also in physical purity, to eat the fruit. And the eating of the fruit there is especially praising Hashem. And what happens is that there I receive this insight that we said, the inspiration from above, to be able to do away in my enjoyment, but still I'm not freely enjoying the fruit, but I'm enjoying the fruit just in order to be conscious and thankful to God throughout the whole experience, because I also made this very great effort of having to take the fruit to Yerushalayim. After I've done that for 1 year, that corresponds once more to the second stage of the circumcision, which is the Priya, then the fruit and myself vis-a-vis the fruit is holy enough to enter into a state of natural consciousness with regard to the fruit, which will just increase blessing infinitely. Increasing blessing is like the initial blessing of God to man himself, that you shall be fruitful, that you shall be fruitful and multiply, as we said before, that the purpose of Brit Milah ultimately is to bear children into the world in purity, to bring down holy souls. Right, so now to continue this idea a little further and try to understand it more, since this is a model, the model reflects itself in several facets, in different laws and concepts in the Torah. Since the comparison between the tree in the outside world and the flesh in my own body is that both have this common word, the word arel, which means foreskin. So the obvious question is, where else in the Bible, in the Tanakh, do I find the concept of foreskin? What other things have foreskin besides the flesh of the male body, of the covenant of the priests, of the Brit Milah, and the trees, the fruit trees that we plant upon entering the land of Israel? So we find in the whole Tanakh, and this is also noted by the sages, by Chazal, that in the human body there are another three places, or three parts of the body, that have foreskin. And if they have foreskin, means they have olah, the foreskin has to be cut off. What are they? They're the heart. When we're commanded to return to Hashem, so it says, "Umaltim et orlat levavchem," and you shall circumcise the foreskin of your heart. So we see that the heart possesses foreskin. We have to cut it off. How do we cut off the foreskin of the heart? By doing tshuva, returning to Hashem. Then it says that the ear also has a foreskin to it. Arila oznam, there's a verse in the Prophet, that there's a foreskin over the ear that has to be also cut off. And then the other place in the body that has a foreskin are the lips. As we find by the greatest of all prophets, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, who gave us the Torah, that he actually complains, as it were, to God, that how can I come to redeem and to be a prophet to the Jewish people when Aras Satayim, and that I have foreskin over my lips, meaning that it's hard for me to speak and to express myself. So in each case of the foreskin, so we are now going to identify these two stages of what it means first to cut off the gross and the thick visible foreskin, and then to tear off the thin transparent membrane, which is called priya. And if you don't do the second process, as though you didn't do anything. The Torah demands of us to do both stages. It's very, very interesting and significant to note that there are non-Jews like Arabs that also received from Abraham the commandment, as it were, to circumcise, but they only performed the first stage, which for a Jew is as though nothing was performed at all. As Chazal say, mal velo para ki ilu lo mal, that if there was just the cutting off of the thick skin and not the tearing off of the thin membrane, it's as though you didn't even cut away the thick skin. Meaning that if a person is not able to deal with his unconscious egocentric motivations and what he does, so even if he cuts off the crude evil, it will return in a certain way. He'll never be able to actually do away with the crude evil if he doesn't relate also to the thin, unconscious motivations that are also coming from the evil side. Now, in general, the relation between the two stages of cutting off the thick skin and then the thin membrane is like the verse that reads, and actually is read several times in Psalms, "Sur mi ra ve'aseh tov," go away from evil and do good. First, a person has to release himself and go away from evil and to banish evil from his life. And then it says that then you can purely, without once being taken hold of by evil impressions, you can now devote yourself to truly and freely doing good. That's obviously the objective of life, is just to be able to do as much good as possible. As much good as possible is bearing as many holy souls into the world as possible. And just to purely be involved with good, that's the ultimate purpose of every Jew. But in order to be able just to flow with goodness and just to do good, first the evil has to be cut away. Now, even though it appears that first just cut away the evil and then you'll be able to purely devote yourself and your life to do good, but really the truth is that after the course and the overt evil is cut away, still the good, which is the ultimate objective, will not be pure. You will not be able to flow purely and flow with goodness. So that's the secret of the fifth year of the fruit, if you don't do the second stage, which is the tearing away of the thin membrane, which is called the pri'ah. Now, this is with regard to one's heart, and to one's lips, and to one's ears. Just as it is physically with regard to the physical circumcision of the flesh, and also in the external world, physically with regard to the fruit trees that we plant in Eretz Yisrael. So to explain it in short, we'll maybe start with the heart. The heart, what does one experience in his heart? One experiences thoughts. But thoughts, even though you might think that thoughts are in the mind, but actually thoughts, especially thoughts of desires, that a person has different desires and he thinks about his desires, so the thoughts are attributed to the heart. It's called hirhur lev, the thoughts that the heart thinks. Especially spontaneous thoughts that just come into your heart, which are once more spontaneous desires that one has in life. The first stage of the tshuva process of returning and once more circumcising one's heart, which is called umaltim et olat abachem, is to immediately recognize those thoughts which are overtly evil. There are all kinds of bad thoughts that a person has, bad thoughts of lustful thoughts and thoughts of power or thoughts of cruelty or hurting other people, of anger. There are all kinds of bad thoughts. All of these bad thoughts reflect the yet impure qualities and attributes that a person has in his heart. That's why it's all attributed to the heart. Because it's all coming from bad attributes that one possesses in his heart. Whether it be a bad unrectified love or fear or praise, which are the first three of the seven basic attributes of the heart. So if a person recognizes all of those bad thoughts that are coming from the bad attributes of the heart and deals with them by what is usually called darkei musar, ways of the ethical and moral ways that are taught in the Torah, and for this you don't need even the Kabbalah and Hasidut, because the inner dimension of the Torah, especially for the second stage, were given us, because it's also the divine inspiration that were given us in order to be able to perform the second stage of the circumcision process. The first stage, you simply need to, you need Musa, that this is a bad thought, and it's forbidden to think this thought. And how can I rid myself of a thought which is bad? If I involve myself consciously with good thoughts, but I know consciously that I'm now ridding myself from bad thoughts, and it's with intention. That's not yet enough. In order for the heart to completely be circumcised, it's not enough just the first stage, which is sur mirah, go away from evil. Even the very word sur, which means go away, is the same word in Hebrew as musar. Musars are the ethical teachings of the Torah, as we just noted. This, in order to cut off the thin membrane, which are the usually unrecognized, unconscious, egocentric motivations that one has behind what he does, even the good things that he does, so it's necessary to connect oneself very, very strongly to thinking holy thoughts, not just replacing evil thoughts by good thoughts, but by thinking very, very deep holy thoughts that are coming from the inner dimension of the Torah, from Kabbalah and especially Hasidut, thoughts which consciously connect you to God. Now, thoughts that consciously connect you to God means thinking about God very, very strongly, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By that, that's just like on the fourth year of the fruit, you have now bringing all of the fruit or the thoughts, like the fruit of my soul that I experience in my heart. I have to consciously bring all of that fruit to Yerushalayim, and consciously the whole purpose of the fruit is to partake of it in a state of praising God, that the very partaking is itself praising God. That's the pshat, the literal meaning of the verse. By doing that, then I will then come to the fifth year, that the fifth year is that the natural flow of goodness, that my heart will think good things, and from the good thoughts of my heart will come good deeds that I perform in action. So once more, the first stage of the circumcision is the ridding oneself of the evil thoughts that one can know. If he just pays attention to himself and also learns Musa, what is a good thought and what is a bad thought. But then the second stage, which is the Priya, is the conscious connection to God, the deep connection to God in meditation, according to Kabbalah and Hasidut. And then the thought process just begins to flow goodly and naturally. The next example is in the, we'll take the second one is the ear. So maybe we can even understand the two together, the ear and the lips. The ear has to do with, obviously, with what you hear, with what the vibes you pick up from the outside world, whether those vibes are actually talk and communication that you're receiving from the outside world, or whether it's simply sensations, vibrations and sensations that you pick up from what's going on around you, your environment. Your environment transmits vibrations that your ear picks up. Your ear is like a receiver, that you're receiving your impression and your sensation of reality around you. So obviously there are bad things that one hears. When we'll now turn to the lips, so the lips obviously have to do with your own expression, what you speak, but the ear is what you hear, and the lips is what you yourself transmit or radiate, broadcast. The ear is that you're picking up what the world is broadcasting to you, and the lips is your ability to broadcast yourself to the world. So there are bad things that are broadcasted. At all, even whether it's the actual physical media, whether it's not exactly media, just the vibrations in the air. And as soon as you recognize something as being a bad thing in the ear, so that even Chazal say, the sages say, that it's one of the reasons that there's the skin at the bottom of the ear that's actually a good skin, a membrane that you can close your ear not to hear bad things. That's the very beginning, according to the sages, of self-rectification, is to close your ears from hearing bad things. Right, so that's like cutting off the thick, avert foreskin. What is then the second process? The second process is attuning your ear to dafka. Dafka means particularly picking up good things. Because there are a lot of good things that you also wouldn't be able to, that are unconscious good. Right? By trying to consciously pick up good vibrations that are coming from different places, which means hearing good things of say about other people, and not bad things, so together simultaneously with consciously intending to pick up good things or hearing not just good things about other people, but good things that God is doing in the world, good things that have to do with Hashgacha Pratit, which is divine providence in your own life and the life of your people and the whole world. So that tuning yourself in to good vibrations, that's the second stage. And that goes together also with not just ridding yourself from overtly bad broadcasts, but they're also not so overt. They're also like in all kinds of media, modern media, there is much hidden and concealed motivation of things that are broadcast that you don't even know what the broadcast is trying to condition your mind to hear. So that also has to be torn away. All of the conditioning, the unconscious conditioning that the media say, whether it's the physical media or whether it's just the general vibes in the air, are trying to impress upon you. But that is through bringing all of your sense of hearing up to Jerusalem and eating it all with special consciousness of holiness. That's the fourth year. And then comes the fifth year. Now the same thing is true of speech, which is the foreskin of the lips. The first one has to learn, and he has to learn all of the laws of how to, once more, Musar, what is proper to say, what is improper, what is forbidden to say, and simply to cut off all of the bad talk that we, all the bad chatter that we chatter and talk throughout the day. And then there has to be special effort made to speak specially holy things, especially about Hashem, to teach Torah. To make a special point that I have to be able to teach Chassidut. If I'll teach Chassidut, that's like the fourth year, then on the fifth year all of my speech will be holy, just naturally. But first there has to be a fourth year that I'm devoting myself consciously to connecting in this sense, that now the sense of the lips of speech, connecting to God altogether. And thereby I also do away with the unconscious evil of the speech. Because as we said, everything has its conscious side and its unconscious side, and by this is why we're taught that the most important rectification of the unconscious evil is simply being very, very deeply connected at all of levels of the soul with the inner teachings of the Torah, of Kabbalah and Chassidut. That is all coming up, like walking, going up to Jerusalem, and doing it in Jerusalem with the conscious intent and awareness of God being here, and that whatever I'm doing is directly praising God. And then on the fifth year it becomes free flowing, natural, and just an infinite increase of blessing.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg, recorded and presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization, and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org. In Hebrew, Galina means, open my eyes. These words are from the verse in Psalms, open my eyes, that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Under the leadership of Rabbi Ginzburg, our goal is to open the world's eyes to the light of the inner dimension of Torah, to discover God, and to connect to Him in all that we do. As we learn from the Baal Shem Tov, spreading this light will hasten the complete and true redemption. We invite you to join the Galinite team and participate with Rabbi Ginzburg in learning, teaching, and spreading the inner dimension of Torah, Kabbalah, and Chassidut. Together, the Galinite team will change the world, bringing God's loving kindness, health, happiness, and true peace to all. For more information about Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg's teachings and how to participate with the Galinite team, visit the Inner Dimension website at www.inner.org. www.inner.org. Or email us at inner@inner.org.